Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And it's October already, and we have one last really big opportunity for you to visit the Master Gardeners, and that's coming up next week on October the 12th through the 14th. The Master Gardeners will be participating with an educational booth and talks at the Home and Garden Show held at the El Paso Convention Center. So if you are around town and planning to visit, they'll be out there the 3 days of the weekend, October the 12th on Friday, all the way up until Sunday. So please stop by, say hello. Ask all of your gardening questions to all the Master Gardeners.
Bring a sample by if you got.
Exactly. Bring your specimens and your Ziploc bag. Bring your phone with your photographs on there. Bring your questions. Bring your family. I think there's going to be events for kids.
I was going to say the kids' corner there, so be sure to bring your kids on Saturday and Sunday. They're not open Friday, but Saturday and Sunday.
It is definitely at a show for the entire family, and certainly at a great time to visit with Master Gardeners. And one of our co-hosts will be giving a talk on Saturday.
Yes,
at the home show. Jan, what are you talking about?
I'm going to be talking with the president of our association, Art Corral, and I will be doing a talk and a little demonstration on propagation, and we'll even have a giveaway.
Oh my!
So I believe
goodness.
We're on for 3:30 on Saturday. So come and join us. We love to talk about propagation. It's one of our favorite subjects. So, and art's just amazing.
Wonderful.
And, we'll have a fun time with that.
Great opportunity for all of the list of speakers, talks, and different events. Please make sure you visit the El Paso Master Gardener Facebook page, as well as the Master Gardener Help Desk. And we'll give that number out at the end of the show, just in case you missed it. But for today, we're going to talk about herbs.
Not herbs.
No, John. We have these controversies before we even start taping the shows today.
That's right.
About pronunciation of herbs and herbs, and then we have something on mint, yay or nay, and all this. So we're going to kind of try to decide.
So we don't even agree.
We don't even agree.
Exactly.
That's why we're here to talk to you about it, for you to make up your decision.
That's
and
right.
Make up your mind. But definitely the use of a culinary herb is a great way to introduce new flavors, new textures into your kitchen and your culinary adventures. And it's by gardening them, you will be taking the economical route.
Absolutely, because they're expensive in the store.
They sure are.
And it's also a great way to get started with gardening. I really think it is, because they're, for the most part, we'll concentrate a little bit today on some of the herbs that we can plant this time of the year. And we all have our favorites, you know, like the song says, there's parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. And we're lucky here in El Paso, because some things that may not be very cold hardy do well here. And so there's a lot of favorites. And I like to plant my herb garden right outside my back door, because you do have the wonderful smell. I have a family member that comes over, and every time he's out in my backyard, he runs his fingers through the basil, because he just loves the smell, and that and the rosemary as well. So they're a lot of fun, and it saves you a fortune in the kitchen. You buy a few sprigs of basil, and you have to take out a small business loan, but of course I'm exaggerating, but now I do have to say, though, with basil, hang on to it, but because it won't be around much longer. It does not like the cold. It doesn't want to be in the refrigerator. You can harvest it and put it in a glass on your counter, but I recommend not putting it in the refrigerator. Now, you can freeze it for use in sauces and so forth, and I will harvest the leaves and put it in some plastic wrap, and then wrap it in foil and toss it in the freezer. But when you take it out, it'll be black. It's okay, though. It doesn't lose its flavor in it, and it works well, especially in your tomato-based sauces, you know, a lot of your marinaras and stuff. So that's a great plant.
And one of your base plants, I think, that you see all around town, it's an ornamental. It's certainly one of those bulletproof plants or heat-loving plants that thrives on neglect. It's going to be your rosemary.
Oh.
So that's a great base plant to start out if you're looking at to be able to start an herb garden. It does attract a lot of little honeybees as well, too. So you'll get some them feeding off a little bit of those little dainty purple flowers.
And you do have upright rosemary as well as a prostrate.
Right,
so
exactly.
Depending on your space, sometimes the taller one works better in the situation. Depends on what you want to do.
There's a new rosemary come out. It's called barbecue skewers. So it's the upright one that has really stiff stems.
Oh, really?
For barbecuing.
That sounds like a great idea.
Exactly, baby, to look at that.
And you can use rosemary that way, especially with Thanksgiving coming up here before long. It's a great herb to harvest and just take a nice long sprig and put it in around your turkey, and it's very tasty that way.
Right.
And it's easy to strip off and chop up. And I put it in a little spice jar and use it on a regular basis.
Right.
But I think you really need to be careful when you plant your rosemary. You can certainly do it in a container, but leave enough space because they get quite large and they tend to get woody. And so you want to harvest regularly.
Right. So you want to use it. So you want to plant what you're going to use.
Exactly.
So just like all edible plants, then there's a cool and warm season designation to these plants. So let's talk a little bit about some of those cool seasons.
Some are perennial, some are annual.
Well, let's break those down then. Yeah. So let's see where we're at. One of our most common, I guess, culinary use plants is going to be our cilantro. It does take a while for it to sprout and germinate, so it kind of the clock is ticking if you want to plant it now before any of the cold winter sets in. But if you have access to the garden center component for that, that's a great
and it's a wonderful cool weather herb. And of course, we use it so much in our cooking here in the desert Southwest. So that's a great one to do. And it gets large. And again, that's another one. It has that wonderful fragrance just when you walk out the door. And it's I agree with you, Denise. It's almost easier to go and just buy a little seedling. It's very rewarding to propagate from seed, but it does take time. And sometimes the germination rates on some of those is not, it's just not as easy to propagate as some of the other, like basil. I mean, you can throw basil out in the summer and it just pops up everywhere, but not so much for the cilantro. Another one is dill. A lot of people like dill. You've grown your cucumbers all summer, so now you can make pickles. And my favorite, and I think a real go-to herb for everybody, is parsley. Mm-hmm. And I get tickled because a lot of people think it's only a garnish. Mm. But no, it's wonderful to use in the kitchen. And it's a biennial, so it'll hang around for a couple years. And I've found that in El Paso, it does well even in our winter time. In some of your colder regions, you wouldn't have as much luck in the winter. And don't pull it for that second year. Leave it for the butterflies. They will make short order of a stem of parsley in a day or two. They just chomp away, and the next thing you know, you've got a butterfly floating around. So it's fun to watch that too.
Exactly.
Great for the kids, a great teaching tool for the kids.
And just like all other plants, they do have their different light requirements. So you want to make sure that you give them ample sunlight to be able to grow and thrive. But let's talk a little bit about fertilizer and how you should be able to care for your plants on there. And the differences between a slow release fertilizer and putting in maybe a water soluble fertilizer that may give a lot of flush green growth at one time. So there's definitely pros and cons in that.
Yeah. I tend to like some of the slower release type fertilizers just because of the chance of burning a plant is reduced a lot when you use a slow release.
Right.
But it does take a while for it to release. Mm-hmm. So if you need immediate growth on a plant, you need to maybe come in with something a little quicker release to get that growth on the plant and let the slow release kick in.
Right, exactly. So it's great to plant that when you're planting your fall vegetables.
Pre-plant
right before, so they can start breaking down as time goes along. And also, if you add maybe too much fertilizer, then you may just get unnecessary growth on the plant itself.
Right.
And I'm not sure how that quality of those flavor compounds in there may be affected as well.
And, good time to say that, the plant doesn't know whether the source is organic or inorganic. The plant only takes nutrients up in one form, and so it doesn't know the difference. Mm-hmm. So, as far as whether you're organic or not, that's your preference. Mm-hmm. But the plant takes them up in both, and you really can't tell the difference when you eat them. They're the same. Whatever makes you feel better.
Right.
And I find that I don't fertilize my herbs as often as I do some of my ornamentals and my other plants. So, they really do. Putting them in a container and you have your dry soil, that's a great time to mix in that time release. Mm-hmm. fertilizer, and then add your water. Make sure that your soil is moist when you're planting that plant. And of course, I hound this to death on the show, but it's very important because when you water, then it's going to water more consistently. The water's not going to run off of that root ball and stuff, especially with. And so soak your seedlings as well before you put them in that damp soil. So that'll make a big difference. And of course, drainage. Have we ever talked about that before? Every single week, but it's paramount. It really, really
and,
is.
And because they're definitely not going to be a long investment into your garden. They may be short-lived perennials. You want to make sure that you shape them and prune them, but the best way to do that is to actually use them.
Right.
And you preserve the plant itself and the growth that you desire mm-hmm. for that. Basil, you don't want to let it go to seed.
No, especially basil, because it gets real woody, and you can pick back the little blossoms on it and turn around and walk back outside, and there's more blossoms.
Right.
So use it on a regular basis. You know, go make yourself a big old batch of pesto. If you don't use it all, put it in the freezer, you know, and there's all sorts of great pesto recipes out there, and that's a great one. And another thing I think that's important is if you're a container gardening, you can plant a lot of herbs in one large pot, and it's wonderful. I have oregano, I have thyme, and a little rosemary plant, and the rosemary is kind of my thrill, and so that works well too.
And definitely herbs, just like all other plants, are not immune to pests.
Right. And you just have to kind of stay on top of it to make sure that mm-hmm. you don't have aphids or mites or something that have moved in on your plants. And
good stream of water.
Spittle bugs on your rosemary.
I was going to say, I had never experienced that, and I thought, oh, yuck, what is this nasty stuff that's on my rosemary? It looked horrible. But just a good spray of water makes a big, big difference. But you do have to check it.
And those little bugs actually look like
they're kind of an aphid.
Balls.
That froth all around, which protects them.
It does.
They're in there feeding, sucking juice out of the plant.
Right.
Got all that froth protecting them.
Exactly. Yeah. Very good. And of course, like you mentioned, Jen, nothing like the kitchen sink to be able to wash off any kind of pest or hitchhikers mm-hmm. that have come in with your herbs. But always kind of look underneath the sides of them. And, you know, edibles and what's a short. Such a short turnaround from the time you plant your vegetables to the time you're going to harvest it. You really want to stay away from having to apply any kind of pesticides. Really reconsider and look at your own personal threshold as far as how many insects that you're able to tolerate. And for the most part, most people...
Taste?
No, like just to ignore it in the garden. No, to forget about taste. Those are other national standards.
Those are protein.
Exactly. That's an alternative protein source, John. And those government regulations say that we can have 6 insect legs in our cereal.
Yuck.
Those are standards completely. Well, we certainly had a lot of fun today talking a little bit about herbs and your culinary adventures with them. And we hope that you are inspired to maybe go out there and kind of look around and see what you like to eat and maybe try your hand in planting some of those into your own personal garden. We want to thank you for listening to today's show and thank Seth Van Meter for engineering Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Petterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.